Blog Talk Radio.
God for the second chance, but he is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. Why? Because he loves us like that. You know, the word this morning will be coming out of Thessalonians, and all I can say is, woo, it is a great word today. It's good. It's real good. And I am grateful that God has chosen me to deliver his word this morning. And we are going to get started because I just felt really in my heart this morning. You know, it's time to go to work. It's so funny because it's not funny, but, you know, we always hear, you know, if man don't work, he ain't going to eat. And, you know, but putting it all into context, you know, when we work for God, that's who we work for. We work for God because our jobs as men and women of God or to bring people to Christ, to bring people to Christ. Are you bringing anybody to Christ today? Are you sitting on your laurels of I am a this or that, sitting on the title laurel instead of sitting on the God laurel of going to work? The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And I personally want to be a part of the harvesters. I want to work for the kingdom of God. And the word that God gave me this month is, brother, do not grow weary in doing good. Because, you know, your mind tells you, I am tired. I don't want to be bothered with this, that, or the other. And, you know, I'm just too tired for all of that. And I realized that, you know, I have a tendency, you know, because on Mondays I work about 10 hours. But on paper, it looks like I work 12, but I get a two-hour break, and you find yourself saying, oh, I'm so tired. And then I realize, wait a minute, be grateful, because there's somebody today that did not wake up to be tired. There's somebody today that would love to be in your position going to work. Why are you complaining? Why are you complaining about being tired? God woke you up. God gave you a legs to walk, eyes to see, ears to hear, a voice to speak. Maybe not as clearly as you'd like, but you have it. Be grateful because you're blessed. You know, when you look at you feel like you have stuff everywhere, and you're like, Lord. And then the word of God said, be grateful. That means you got overflow. Give some stuff away. We got to stop and think about things. We got to pray. So many times folks get so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. No earthly good at all. You know, I'm in my closet all day. It's time to go to work. You can't stay in your closet all day. Well, I was in my closet and I was praying. Okay, where was the work in that? you can work and pray. Whatever you're called to do, get up and go do it. If you're called to preach, preach. If you're called to teach, teach. If you're called to prophesy, prophesy. If you're called to evangelize, evangelize. You can't stay in your closet all day. And I tell you something, prayer does change things because prayer teaches you how to fight. When the enemy comes at you, you learn how to fight, and you got to be bold to tell that sneaky, low-down, dirty snake who you are and who you belong to. I am a child of the Most High God. I am covered by the blood of Jesus, and I rebuke you, bind you, and send you back to the pits of hell from which you came. And if it tries to tell you, I don't know you, yes, you do know me. You know me real well, and I tell you this, not today. We got to learn how to be bold, because if we're not bold, the enemy will walk all over you, knock you out. But like the sons of Sceva running around half naked. We got to stop that stuff. You know, don't play church. Don't play like, oh, I'm so. No, none of us is better than anybody else. None of us are more holy than anybody else. We are all saved by grace. We are all saved by the blood of Jesus. But we got to start treating each other that way. I see too much hatred going on. Every time you flip on anything, it's always a troll. And what do trolls do? Hide under bridges to attack. That's what they do. They hide under bridges to attack. They never have. They don't like to come into the daylight, because when you come into the daylight, you can see their old ugly selves. We got to stop allowing trolls to dictate what we say, what we, where we go, what we speak. Well, I don't want nobody to say anything negative about me. I don't care. I'm going to preach the word of God, teach it, and keep it moving. Because God has given us an edit. We don't have a lot of time. We got to go to work. And we can't get weary in doing good. Because the good we do is for God. Do you think, as we get ready to get in our word, Jeremiah didn't get tired of having to tell these hard-headed, stiff-necked folks, this is what's going to happen. If you don't change, if you don't start doing what you're supposed to do, if you don't quit being idol worshipers, if you don't come back to the true God, he cried. Because he knew what was coming. You know, I tell you this. Prophets know what's coming. Some can tell, some cannot. And it's hard when you see things and you can't tell it. Or when you see things and you tell it and folks think you're crazy. We got to understand the gifts that God gives us are gifts that make you work. Don't get tired, because the word of God tells us, and we go as we go into this 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, word, a man that don't work will not eat. And I'm paraphrasing that scripture. But if you don't work, you don't eat. I want to eat in the kingdom. I want to be able to sit at the table with Jesus. I want to be able to see the heavenly angel choir singing holy, holy, holy. I want to be able to join in. Is the Lord God Almighty with boldness. That's what I want to be able to do. But I know I can't get there without working for God and going to work and not feeling tired and not getting weary and doing good. So I lift up the name today of the Father, and I pray, Father God in heaven, I give myself away this morning, Lord. Use me for your glory. Use me, Lord, that I may walk the walk that you have called me to walk. Use me, Lord, for I do what I do, not for self-aggrandizement, but for you. That somebody hearing this word, Lord, may be saved. May be saved, that they will have a new day with you. Father God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight, Father God. But Lord God, you are my strength. Strength like no other. Your strength reaches to me, Father. And I can see, as the song say, in the fullness of your grace, in the power of your love, you lift me up. And I can only say thank you, Father, for you are my redeemer. You are my God and my daddy, and I am grateful, thankful, and blessed to be your daughter. In the name of the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus, who loved me enough to give his life for me, I pray this prayer. Let these words, Lord God, permeate the atmosphere that someone will hear them and be saved. Amen. In the name of Christ Jesus. Woo, I lift up this morning, grateful, thankful, and blessed. I had a great night's sleep, and I am grateful. Grateful. I woke up this morning, you know, with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woo, I love that song. That is one of my favorite songs. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's get in our word this morning. For those that are with us, we are coming out of Jeremiah chapter 27 and 28. We are coming out of Psalms 119, verses 33 to 40. And remember, Psalms 119 is an increment of 8. So it's a basically, it's a 20. If you were just reading in increments of the alphabet, then you would basically be 22. It's 22 of them in 8 increments. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. 8 increments all the way through. So it's really awesome, actually. And very, yeah, it's just great. That's all I can say. So I was getting ready to go all theologian and everything, and let me bring it back down. So anyway, so Psalms 119, 33 to 40, Proverbs 27, 18, and our main title is coming out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to talk about prayer in Thessalonians. We're going to talk about going to work for God. And we're going to talk about how to admonish. Do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. For those folks that just don't want to act right in the church. I mean, you know, we got to learn how to speak up. And, you know, folks get mad at their pastor because pastors, that's their job, is to critique, is to admonish, is to basically get you back on track. Because so many times we get off track. But when your pastor comes to you and say, okay, let me talk to you a little bit. This is what I need you to do. You know, you're getting a little off track. Let me pull you back in a little bit. And you got folks that get mad. I'm going to try to tell me what to do. They not letting me use my gift. I can't do what I want to do. I can't. And not, what can I do? What can I do? Can I do it? We got to do what we can do. And we got to ask for instructions. Because that's why God gives us heads, which are called our pastors. We can't get mad because things don't go our way all the time. And you can't get weary in doing good. We all have ministries within churches. You know, my ministry is Blog Talk. And I have, you know, another ministry. I'm over a women ministry. I'm the pastor of women's ministry in my church. But the fact of the matter is that we all have assignments. What is your assignment? What have you asked God? What can I do in my church? What is my assignment? And the question becomes, can you do your assignment? Do you have the equipment to do your assignment to the full? Are you wanting self-aggrandizement so you can say, I did this, I. It's not about I, it's about us, because we're all the body of Christ, and we got to act like it. It's not just an I, because only if all you had was an I, where are the hands to do the work, where are the feet to take you where you need to go, Where are the arms to help you lift up? You know, where's the heart that needs to beat to keep the blood flowing through the body? Where's the head, which is Christ? If you just got an eye, you can't accomplish too much of anything. So that's just something to think about as we get into our word, because Jeremiah is getting ready to go forth. Prophet Jeremiah is about to go forth. So prophet has to say this morning. Okay, prophet Jeremiah, let's take it over. And he says in his word, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground by my power, by my great power, and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. Did y'all catch that? God gives what he gives to who he wants to give it to. Don't get jealous. Don't get mad. Just understand. And it goes on to say, and now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field I have also given him to serve him. So all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of this land comes. And then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you, to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. But they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and your prophets who prophesy to you. Also, I spoke to the priests and to all these people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessel of the Lord's house will not surely be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why would this city be laid waste? But if they are prophets and if the word of the Lord is with them, Let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the cart, and concerning the remainder of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried away captive Jehoconiah, and the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. We better understand, God is in charge, and he will send his word through a prophet. The issue is we got to pray, Lord, discernment to know your prophet over prophet liars. Show me, Lord. Give me discernment. And Jeremiah 27:22 says, they shall be carried to Babylon. The Lord never abandoned his people, nor did he leave them alone. But for most of their years of captivity, life would seem pretty dreary until God blessed them. We are to wait for God until he moves in power. Sometimes we want to rush God. You know, well, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that. Did he really? Are you trying to rush God? Because everything will happen in his season. We all have got to go to work. We all have got to do what we're called to do by God for our season. If your season is spring, then you go and you get ready and watch the flowers bloom. Watch the weather change, because as we all know, spring comes in March, and it's kind of a weird month. You know, it might be really, really cold. It might be really, really nice. And, you know, your weather's going all over the place. You know, raining, not even snow. You know, you never know what's going to happen in March. It's just that season. It's just that time. It's a little bit spring. It's a little bit fall. It's a little bit winter. It's kind of has all the seasons of the year are kind of thrown into March, because you're coming off of winter. You're into spring, but then the trees are still kind of doing their thing, so it looks kind of winter fallish, and, you know, and so you're kind of like in that in-between, and you have to understand that everything has its time. Everything has its time, and when it's the time to do what you got to do, when you've been called to go to work, get up. Get up. You are here sometimes in the middle of the morning. Get up. That's God. Say, get up. It's time to go to work. You don't have time to be sitting there, laying there. Come on, let's get up. Let's get up and go get on your bike. Let's get up. Let's go walk. Let's get up. Let's go do what you got to do. You got work to do. It's time to go. Can't lay around all day. God don't play that. We got work to do. It's time to get up. And as we continue, in chapter 28 of Jeremiah, and it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from the place and carried to Babylon, and I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Before Jeremiah starts to speak, I can say this for him. Prophet liar. God already said it's going to be 70 years before anybody comes back. But they already just lying. Just started lying because their title is prophet. They prophet liars. And we have to ask God for discernment to know the prophet liar from the prophet, our prophetess. And then this is what Jeremiah says. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words, which you have prophesied, to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord will truly, as was truly sent. He said, I ain't gonna dog you out. I ain't gonna call you out for the liar that you are. All I'm gonna say is, if what you say is true, then it will come to pass. Shoulders up, hands out. Hey. Because then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke of off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Ananias spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Ananias, the prophet, had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet. Jeremiah said, go and tell Ananias, saying, this says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him. I have given him the beast of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Complete. Bam, you're done. Don't play prophet. Don't play with God's people. Don't be out there trying to prophesy and prophesy. Because, again, what happened to Hananiah? He died playing, lying to God's people. I tell folks, prophet is not a vocation you want unless you're ready to do what God says do. But if you get out there lying in the name of the Lord, you better watch as well as pray. Because you may not be long on this earth. It is not something to play with. Prophecy is not something to play with. Don't let somebody get in there prophesying lies to God's people, because I'm going to tell you, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And you'll know God's anointed prophets, because they may not be saying what everybody else is saying. They may not be, as some say, mainstream. They may not be alternative. They may be just telling the truth. And you might see them cry because they see stuff they don't want to see. Because they know when you're walking down the wrong way and the wrong path. So let's get into the life lesson for this particular word. For Jeremiah 28, verses 16 and 17. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. And this is what said, how did Hananiah teach rebellion against the Lord? He did it through a message of false peace. We never earn God's favor by convincing anyone that sin is anything other than sin. Bam. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Simple as that. Sin is sin. We got to know that. Let's keep it moving. Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. And our 8 verses to this, alphabet E. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not be covetousness. Let me read that again. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word in your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Praise the Lord. Come on now. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Hallelujah. We got to ask to be revived. We got to ask God to establish your word in your servant. That's my testimony. I pray, Lord, establish your word in your servant who is devoted to fearing you. We better fear God, because God does not play. I love God, and I fear God, and I know that God wants the best for me. I'm blessed beyond measure to be a child of God, and so are you. And our proverb for this morning is Proverbs 27 and 18. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit, so he who waits on his master will be honored. Woo, hallelujah. The Lord God is our master. He is our king. He is our absolute. He is our everything. I love God. Do you love God? What? You don't love God? What's wrong with you? You know, Mary had it down. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? We got to love God and not just love him on the surface. Oh, I love God. You got to love God. And he knows your heart. He knows everything about you. I love you, Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for waking me up this morning. Hallelujah, because somebody didn't wake up today, at least not in this world, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are not. We want to be laborers in the vineyard of God. We want to bring as many to God as we can. We want folks to be saved. And if we are not saved, we got to be saved too. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We got to have that in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Choose you this day. Who will you serve? This house that you carry, wherever you go, this house that we call a body, will you serve the Lord today? Will you serve him? God is waiting, watching, and hoping that we will be and do what is right. So let's keep it moving, y'all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Woo. This is our word this morning. The Apostle Paul is preaching in his epistle. This letter that he has written to the Thessalonians, you know, is all that and some. And it says this, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. He's asking for prayer. Corporate prayer does something. I can speak it. I've experienced it. Corporate prayer changes things. And Paul is asking for corporate prayer. Finally, brethren, meaning many, all of y'all, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. And as he continues, he says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge. Come on now. But worked with labor and toil night and day that you might not be a burden, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Paul, in other words, said, we don't just come in here, sit down, want to be served. We get up and we go to work. I can tell you this. You might look up and see my pastor in the kitchen. Definitely you're going to see her cleaning the church. Because she's not sitting there saying, I'm the pastor, so y'all take care of me. No, uh-uh. Every day she's in the church doing some kind of work. If there's nobody to clean it, she'll clean it. Come on now. You might see her vacuuming, dusting off the pews, sanitizing stuff. You never know. She's always working. Just as Paul said, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Come on now. Pastors, we got to be examples. Ministers, we got to be examples. We have to be examples to those that are in the church. Call yourself an apostle and haven't established anything. You can't call yourself a prophet and haven't prophesied anything. Can't call yourself an elder and haven't been over nothing. Come on now. Prophets, prophetess, all of those things. You got to show and do your work. You got to go to work. We all have to go to work. It's no joking matter. We are in the last days and we got to work. We got to work the work we are called to do. You got to get up early in the morning and do what God calls you to do. When God gives you a word, prophetess, don't be afraid to speak it to the congregation. That's your job. Don't be afraid. Even if it's not something rosy and sweet, you got to speak to the pastor, and then you got to tell it to the congregation. Because we have got to get right. It is no joke. It is nothing to play with. We are in some serious things going on in this world. And it's just the beginning. And if we speak this word, this is what Paul had to say. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. You're not going to lay around here being lazy and then think you're going to get up and eat. We all work. Paul had to let it be known. We all work. All of us in this house, we go to work. Even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Folks in the church, don't want to be in anybody's ministry. I ain't got time to be with all them women. I can't stand being with a room full of women. They just get on my nerves. I always got something to say. I don't want to be involved with no women's ministry. Please, I ain't got time to be working in nobody's kitchen. Be nearby. Girl, because you know some of the folks coming in there, I don't want to be working in no kitchen. That's just not my gift. That's not my thing. What? Oh, usher? Oh, goodness, no. At least thank God they know they're not an usher. because Ursa needs to be someone who is going to be friendly, who's going to be loving and kind and sweet, somebody who's going to come and welcome you into the church with a smile on their face and joy of the Lord in their heart. We have some awesome Urshas at my church. I'm just shout out to Pastor Melissa, who is over the usher. She is phenomenal. And also, she is our prayer warrior. She's over the prayer ministry as well. But, you know, folks don't want to be involved. Oh, what prayer? Girl, please, I ain't going to spend my Tuesday night all up at the church all the time. Them folks in church every day, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, three, right? Always in church. They in church over there. I ain't got time for all of that. I don't know why you all the way always up in that church. Every time you turn around, you got to go to church. You can't do this. You can't do church. Girl, you can't even go out with us on Saturday night because you were all at the church. But come Sunday morning, they sitting in the church watching everybody. Look at that usher. She know that skirt need to be ironed a little bit better than that. Oh, girl, there she go up there trying to sing. I know I can blow. I know I can blow better than that. There she up there trying to sing. Whew, I don't know why I even come here. Because all these people do is think they got to do this and they got to do that. All they're trying to do is be seen. Look at Pastor in that big old hat. She knows she don't look all that cute. She thinks she cute. I don't know why she thinks she cute. Complainers don't want to work. Busybody. Then, well, you know, I heard that such and such was doing such and such with Deacon such and such and da da da. Now, sister such and such and Deacon such and such are husband and wife. So why are you going to say that? But see, you don't know that they husband and wife because you come periodically to church. And the last time you was there, they was kind of dating. They was friends. But you don't know they done got married since you left and come back for the fifth or sixth time. But you talking, and then you got to be putting check, that's his wife. What? Girl, I didn't know they got married. I just thought that was out there fooling around. I don't know. Yeah, stay out of other folks' business. Busybodies. And Paul was talking about the busybodies in the church. And he's going to, I'm going to read that again, just so we got it in the mind, in the spirit, to understand that we got to come to church, not to come to church to be busybodies going here and there and everywhere, but to go to work. It says, but even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. But we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ. They work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. That's a word for this morning. And I say to all of you this morning, don't get weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our words in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with them, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. This salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah, what a word this morning. Prophet Jeremiah had something to say. Apostle Paul had something to say. And I pray that those that are listening, the non-workers in the church, that you are workers, that you work for the Lord. None of us want to be the busybodies going here and there and causing confusion. So I say, if you are that person, say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. Help me to do the work you have called me to do and to keep my tongue behind my teeth. That's it. Help me to do what you called me to do and to keep my tongue behind my teeth. Because so many times we get caught up. We get caught up in the whirlwind of gossip. And it's not a good thing, and it's not a good look. We got to come in, do our job, and go home. And when you get home, do some more work. Whatever God calls you to do, do it. Don't worry about what he said, she said. And if somebody don't want to be bothered with you, don't call them. Leave it alone. Give them to God and keep it moving. We don't have time to play church. We don't have time to play church. We are working, and we got to work hard because life is too short to play with God. Don't be playing church. Go to church. Do your job. Work in your ministries. Do whatever it is God called you to do it, and do it well. Whatever you do, do it from your heart. We are all willing workers for God. And as we get ready to get into some life principles this morning, the first life principle is coming out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, which we just prayed. And it says this, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you." And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He says, when my family, he's telling his story. This is Dr. Stanley's testimony. And he said, when my family and I first moved to Atlanta, Georgia, we couldn't seem to find the right house. It took us more than a month before we found a house we felt good about. In the meantime, we had been living with friends. As you can imagine, we were ready for a place of our own. We prayed and applied for a loan. We asked God every day to get the loan approved. We really believed he would. We thanked him in advance. 1 week later, the banker turned down our loan request. What a shock. I just couldn't imagine why, and we couldn't understand what God was up to. Why didn't he answer our prayer, we asked? God answered our question the next day by sending a tremendous rainstorm. The basement of the house we almost brought flooded with a foot of water. We had planned to use it for a study and for storage, but God was watching out for us. 1 week later, we found the right house, and we enjoyed living there for 8 years. Prayer not only spared us a lot of trouble, it saved us a lot of time. God's answer seems like a delay to us, but in fact, it kept us from wasting countless hours trying to fix a defective house. Prayer really is life's greatest time saver. Jesus spoke of this relationship between an apparent delay in God's answers to our prayers and the fact of how it actually saves us time. In Luke 18, he told a parable to teach us that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That doesn't sound like a passage on how prayer saves time, does it? Yet by the end of his story, Jesus explained his point like this. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Luke 18:7-8. Did you catch it? God may bear long with us in our prayers, and yet he is committed to acting on our behalf speedily. That means the power really is life's greatest time saver. For God will answer our prayers as soon as it is best for us. Not 1 moment sooner. Not 1 second later. What may feel like a delay to us is actually God sparing us tremendous amounts of wasted time. Oh, what a word. In 1971, this is Dr. Stanley still speaking, our church's television broadcast was a conflict within the church. After we resolved the conflict, we asked the same station if we could be rescheduled at our prior broadcast time. It refused. We offered to buy time on the station, but it refused that request as well. We believed God wanted us on television, so we prayed that he would once again allow us to begin a television ministry. When we started praying, we thought something would open up soon, but it took a year before anything happened. Eventually, two stations offered us a spot in their weekly programming. One opportunity to another till today. Our one opportunity led to another till today. Our service is broadcast by In Touch Ministries throughout the world. God didn't answer our prayer to be put back right back on the air for a reason. He waited and provided us with something much better than we asked for. Many young people pray and pray that the Lord will send a marriage partner. As they enter their late 20s, many question God's interest. They wonder, what is God waiting for? He may be waiting till he knows they are ready. What seems like a delay to them is actually sparing them countless hours, days, months, even years of heartache. As I reflect on my life, I realize that if God had answered certain prayers according to my timing, I would have missed his best. Imagine for a moment a five-year-old who wants a pocket knife and a flashlight. A good father might not mind giving the knife to him, but the boy needs to grow up a little before he can be trusted with it. In the same way, God waits for us to grow spiritually in some areas before he gives us all the spiritual and material blessings he has in store, Ephesians 1 and 3. God will answer our prayers as soon as it's best, not one moment sooner or 1 second later. This is why prayer really is life's greatest time saver. We got to pray without ceasing. But that doesn't mean staying in your closet all day. It means you pray, you do what you got to do, and as you do it, pray. And as you continue working, pray. And as you go through your day, pray. But you don't have to be in your closet falling out all day long because you got to go to work. You got to get up and go to work. We got to get up and get out and do what we need to do for God. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. When the word of God is preached, some accept it and some don't. It's always been that way, and it will be that way right up to the end. It is perfectly legitimate to pray for protection against those who reject God's word. We have to pray and ask God, cover us, Lord. Cover your children as we go through our days. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patience of Christ. This verse notes two critical items necessary for spiritual growth. First, we must meditate on God's love for us and become increasingly convinced of it. Second, we must focus on Christ's return and wait patiently for it. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Paul does not give this instruction out of anger, but because this guideline, even though it may sound harsh to some, stands the best chance of moving lazy Christians to a place of God's blessing. We can't be lazy Christians. We got to go to work. 2 Thessalonians, do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. The goal of all discipline ought to be restoration. God wants to bless us, not judge us. And sometimes the best way to move us into place fit for blessing is to make us uncomfortable for a while. So let us be uncomfortable for a while because we're all looking for that blessing that can only come from our Father God. I thank you all for listening in this morning. This is all we have for today. Please join us tomorrow as we move forward in the Old Testament. Fridays are our day that we do an Old Testament lesson, unless God tells me something different. It will be an Old Testament lesson tomorrow and a New Testament with possibly the Psalm and Proverb on Sunday. So I'm thanking God for this mighty word today, and it has been rich. I thank God for each of you that listen in, whether you listen in live or later. If you listen in on social media, if you ever want to call in, the number to call is 213-943-3597. Again, the number to call is 213-943-3597. And I just have to, before I get out of here this morning, give a shout out to Israel Houghton and his lovely wife, Adriana. They did a live concert last night, and it was awesome. I am a Israel lover, as you can tell by the title of our show and the title of the song that comes on. I thank Israel and New Breed for just being always there. When I need a song to lift me up, there's a song that Israel or Israel New Breed put out, does something to my heart. My absolute favorite that has gotten me through surgeries and all kind of stuff is Friend of God, because I trust God and I know that he calls me friend, just like he called Abraham friend, just like he called David friend, just like he called Jacob friend. He calls me friend. I love God, and I know that he loves me, and he loves you. Keep God first in everything that you do and watch him work in your life. It's time to get up before day is gone. Let us work the work that God has called us to do. I love you all. I thank God for you. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, and watch him work in your life. Take care, family. Be blessed and know that you are special to God and that he loves you. It's a wrap. Time to go to work. And as always, a word from our sister in Christ and our prayer as we depart from each other. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, for this morning is this. Those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hand in everything. Right on point. Let's put it right. I think Joe Madison said, let's put it where the goats can get it. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Have a thankful Thursday. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Carolyn's gift is something she gives out every day, and I am grateful to be a recipient and to share our word of wisdom, affirmation, and just getting you uplifted in the morning. I'm grateful to be able to share it with you. Thank you so much, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. Love you all. It's a wrap.